अक्षानुकंपे नमस्ते जगद्व्यापिके विश्वरूपे नमस्ते जगद्वंद्योपादारविंदे नमस्ते जगत्तारिणी त्राहि दुर्गे ओम शांति 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 ओ मदर डिवाइन यू आर द रिमूवर ऑफ द मिजरीज ऑफ द डिवोटीज यू आर द इटर्नल रिफ्यूज एवर ब्लिसफुल एंड एवर कंपैशनेट आई बाउ डाउन टू यू यू परवेड द होल यूनिवर्स एंड यू एस्यूम द कॉस्मिक फॉर्म To you, I bow down. The whole universe is worships your lotus feet. To you, I prostrate. You are the savior of the universe. Kindly protect us. To you, I salute again and again. Om peace, peace, peace. Nice to meet you after 1 year or what?
Yes, ma'am.
About 1 year. And you look all the same. That means you are remaining in your eternity. age also stops. Anyhow, this is again to see you all. And so when we come, we will have to say something. So we will have to select some topic. But anyway, because tomorrow will be Divine Mother's worship, so I thought that this topic will be good. Where Swami Vivekananda's, it is Vivekananda's language. It is Mother, what is the topic? Mother, break my chain and make me free. This is a part of the poem written by Swami Vivekananda. My play is done. So, it is surprising to note that a person like Swami Vivekananda, who is speaking all the time about the Atman, Brahman, and absolute truth beyond all levels of duality, and he is again crying like a child and saying, Mother, enough is enough. My play is done. And take me home. He became homesick. We know that Swami Vivekananda came from a very high plane where he says that the seven sages are meditating, where even the gods and goddesses cannot reach, even they are so pure. They are attaining the posts of Indra, Chandra, Varun and all this, but still they do not even dare to reach there because they have not that auspicious character, or they are not so pure that they can rise to such a flight. And there we find that Swami Vivekananda is meditating and in samadhi. And to bring him down, God has to go himself. And he took the form of a baby. And just the sage was meditating and he jumped into his lap and holding the neck, whispered in the mouth, in the ear, I am going, you will have to come. He was steeped in samadhi, he didn't want all this business of doing good and bad, all those things. But he could not resist the call of the Lord. That's why in the scriptures it is said, They are adhikariko purusha, special people of special caliber, capability. They have no need for themselves. They are satisfied in their absolute blessedness. But when it is needed for the good of humanity, for the welfare of all, then he comes down at the call of the Lord. So here we find that it is the way he came with this earnest request by not an ordinary person but by God himself. And then we find that he also came here. It was a long story, as you all know, how he wanted to deny the presence of God. There is no God, reading the Kant, Hegel, and all the Western philosophies and different concepts, denied the existence. In a sense denied, but in a sense to really to know. People say there is God, but is there any God as such? Or it is just myth? And that you know, then Sri Ramakrishna, he approached and he had the mystic vision by touch of Sri Ramakrishna, and all those stories are there. Then also you see that Swami Vivekananda wanted to be steeped in samadhi. Again, who wants to come down to a job of $1,000, $100,000, if one is a billion-dollar job he has by his nature? He can earn billion. Who will come to do a business, $100,000 business? So Vivekananda is absorbed in that absolute blessedness. It is his birthright, as it were. You remember when he used to lie down in the bed every night?
Shiva.
Huh?
Shiva
used to. He used to see a dot of light. If we get a little light, that will think, my God, I have become something. And he, without any effort, every day, going to sleep and found a light in the forehead, and expanding and expanding and expanding. And in that infinite ocean of light, as if he is drowned, that is his sleep. This type of category of person. And now, after interaction with Sri Ramakrishna, then he became a fan of Sri Ramakrishna. Then Ramakrishna also wanted, what do you want? He wanted that, I want absolute samadhi. And I have to keep the body, so I'll come down and then pick up little food and then go to samadhi. That was his call. Sri Ramakrishna said, what? I thought that you would have been much bigger than that. You'll be like a big banyan tree under whose shadow the people who are scorched in the suffering of life, they will come and get reconciled and get peace. And you are saying like that, I will eat little and then go to samadhi and come down. What is this? And also he said, is it God only there when you close the eyes? And is it not when you open the eyes? And this is a real challenge for Swami Vivekananda. You know, in the days of Dakshineshwar, when Ramakrishna was in the most downgrade level of his health condition, then he wrote, Noren will teach. And he was denying till then. But then you know, one day Noren was in the ground floor and Ramakrishna was in his bed in the second floor. And one day he was meditating and his hand started bending like that, and all physical forms are getting deformed, as it were. And seeing that intense condition, somebody reported to Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna said, Let him be in that state for some time. He was pestering for it for a long time. Then, after that, when he came to that that samadhi experience, then he came up, and then what? Then Ramakrishna seeing very fast, now you got the experience. Now you have to do my mother's work. And now the key will be in my pocket. Key will be with me. And when you will finish mother's work, then it will be opened again. So that was the contract. And Vivekananda had to accept that. And now, this Vivekananda, what he did, we know. At the time, it was very difficult to understand what Ramakrishna was speaking. Everyone used to think that he is a crazy guy. Really, he is crazy. He is saying that what Keshav did, Keshav Sen was such a big figure at that time, world-renowned orator and so much famous. And he said, what is there in Keshav? My Narin has 18 such qualities. 18 times that. See how humiliating to a young guy. First, Keshav is a world-renowned person, and a young guy of Calcutta. Nobody recognizes him. And Ramakrishna foresaw that what the greatness in him. And then really we now can understand what was the power in Swami Vivekananda. Now, actually, this is the story that he was in samadhi. Ramakrishna could not do the work what was intended to be done by Vivekananda. He needed a mouthpiece. He has done the sadhana. There is no parallel in the history. The intensity of spiritual practice, what was done by Ramakrishna. There is no history, a second person in the world ever did even a patch of that, even a little bit of that. Normally people think that yes, he is God. If he is God, what sadhana is needed? What spiritual practice is needed? You are God means you are perfect, finished. But in this age, Sri Ramakrishna, what you did was unique. That type of intense prayer, that type of intense renunciation, intense purity, tremendous cry for God, unparalleled in the history. Not only following one direction of devotional path, following all the paths, and now all the paths, all the ways, all the Eastern thought and Western thought. He himself practiced. Some people may say that he has not practiced Judaism and others. That's a misconception. All the religions of the world can be classified into four divisions. Either he is following a path of devotion, or the path of knowledge and wisdom, or selfless activity, like Rama, like Krishna, in their lifetime, and also the meditation. So four. You can categorize all the religions of the world in these four. And he performed even the rituals of each path he followed. And now his body is not fit to bring this message to the world. He is too shaktika, super shaktika. He needs a rajasika body. You need something who will be able to do something. Ramakrishna's body is so sattika that if you give a fried luchi while tearing, his finger will cut. Such sattika man cannot do the preaching to awaken the cosmic kundalini of the world. But he did that job. Then his second face is Vivekananda, who through him, he did his job. What he called as mother, that mother is none that but Sri Ramakrishna himself. With the cosmic energy, awakening of the cosmic energy. So that's why you find that Swami Vivekananda, first of all experiencing his own realization, even after Ramakrishna passed away. And feeling an urge, what to do, he's born to do something. He didn't know what, and he didn't know where to go. He didn't know who to ask for anything. But it is the cosmic play of the divine, guided. And you all know the story, that how he came in this country, being guided by some inner force. And also it is not, you know, out of his own whims. It is the cosmic plan that we call mother's play, making him the instrument and preaching the message of this age. Now this powerful man, that it is Swami Vivekananda, who revolutionized the thought current, thought process of the West, the concept of sin, sinner, to the concept of divine, pure. We are sinners? No, you are divine. It is a sin to call a man so. It's a revolutionary message. Today we can think that so many Eastern thought, so people are accepting. But you understand that period when Swami Vivekananda came here, what type of tremendous power is necessary to preach that message to the length and breadth of this America and also Europe and other countries. He did that and also awakened the spirit, inner spirit of India. What is India's inner spirit is the spirituality. And he awakened that. And the concept of India and Indian spirituality, Indian religion, was a ridiculous thing in the eyes of the West and the world. Vedas are called the songs of some illiterate, what is called? Cultivators, or what you call them? Farmers. Farmers are illiterate. So farmers sing some songs which most idiotic. So Vedas are like that. And he boosted up the spirit of the Vedas because it was covered in the mist of rituals and chants and mantras and this and that only. And okay.
Can I interrupt for a second? It's making noise. I'll just try to do it on this side.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Between
the buttons.
So, to bring the essential message of the Upanishads into the foremost front of the world, is a huge task. And what was that Vedas experience? What is the proof of that experience, Sri Ramakrishna? It's not a story anymore. It has been tested, it has been verified, and it has been proven to be true. And Vivekananda, being like the representative of the West, not believing in anything what you say, by emotion, by faith, no. He challenged every question and he experienced that himself, as if it is a meeting point of the East and West. That's Swami Vivekananda, who singularly awakened the whole consciousness of India and the world, India in one way and America in another way. This dynamic personality, that's why he is called the cyclonic monk. His definition is cyclonic. At cyclone comes, what happens, you know? All the cyclones, wherever it is happening, it uproots the big trees, throws away all the prevailing giant thought process. And then we invoked the spirit of that realization, which is nothing but God realization, is the goal. And through every word he has preached this. Now the question that it is, who is this mother he is praying now, who is such a dynamic person and coming down to this? Who is this mother? According to Vedanta, you all know, this absolute truth is beyond time, space, causation and beyond speech, beyond your mind to comprehend. Mind is too limited. But how, from that absolute infinite, how this varied universe came? And when the universe comes, then is the question of its maintenance, sustenance, preservation or destruction, whatever. So creation, how it comes. There are many philosophies, but this mother's philosophy is one of the wonderful philosophies which is matches with this absolute Vedantic concept. What is that? That absolute truth is there, but it becomes many. Eko aham bahushyam. And then he prajayeti. Only one. Why, without a second, was there, and then from that all this creation came. He said, I will be many. As in the Bible it says, let there be light, and the light. The same principle. I will be many. How the Absolute will think that I am many? There comes the question. No response, no reasonable answer. The Vedanta has put this idea that is Maya. What is Maya? Maya is a veiling aspect and projecting aspect of the same reality. First of it veils and then projects. So this veiling and projecting aspect belongs to one force which in Tantra they call it Mahamaya. That power which manifests and which also releases, which manifests as to keep the play going on, and the same force again to bring him back to home, that is called the Maya. Ramakrishna defined Vidya Maya or Vidya Maya. Two types of Maya. One is the Maya which binds, another is the pure aspect of Maya which breaks the chain. So Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. So here, Brahman and Maya. Vedanta says Maya is just so long you see it is there. What is Maya? You have read Swami Vivekananda's lectures. Maya is a statement of fact. I see you, this is Maya. I talk, I am talking, this is Maya. I am eating, that is Maya. It is a statement of fact according to Swamiji. This fact, what I see, this is Maya. Then Vedanta says, how to get out of Maya? Get out of Maya. Look at the ground of this diversity, which appears to be this world. What is that? What appears like this? Anyhow, so we find, but in Tantra, they call this Maya as Mahamaya, Great Mother. Maha means great. Maya in the term, not delusive, but Maya is delusive in the sense the mothers always give some toys to the children. That is the delusive part of it. It is not with the bad intention. but let the child play. So this is the toy given to people of all age and all times. It is eternal play is going on this way. So mother, in that delusive that way, and when the delusion goes away, the child is tired of this play, then throws away the toy. See the same language only, throw away the toy and cries ma, 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 then release, take him back into the lap. When that renunciation comes, tremendous renunciation comes, the same child who was very happy with the play does not stay anymore with the play. My play is done. Here also the same thing with Vivekananda. It is not that he is under delusion, but he was compelled like that. He is free soul, but you request a very noble soul, hey, would you please take this trouble for me? Good people, what they will say? Ultimately they succumb to the request of Ramakrishna for the good of humanity. But it is not that he is bound to do that. He is free.
Yeah.
So here, if a person, and you can feel that we are bound by our own maya or by the impact of our karma, desire, all so many things. But he has no desire. But what a dedication. He was doing all this job out of love for Ramakrishna, out of love for what you call mother. And now this man is saying, it is enough. I don't want to play anymore. So this beautiful poem is very interesting. One side we find that Vivekananda, the powerful Vivekananda, full of the blaze of fire, and wisdom, renunciation, all in his climax. And at the same time we find the same Vivekananda again. Play is done, he's saying, my play is done. So, what is this play is done? It is just not his own experience. He's as if telling us how to go through the experience and get out. Vivekananda had a mission, a world mission. He didn't plan. That's why Vivekananda said, it is this mother who is driving me crazy and pulling me from one end to the other end and making me restless all through the life. That's why Vivekananda was not a happy guy in the world, because he has so much to do. His time is so limited. As sometimes he is scolding his brother disciples right and left. From every aspect, he thinks that is things to be done now. He says, find a place for Holy Mother. Well, they are trying to get these there. He is saying, send some letters that I am not a cheat. I represent India. They are going on slowly, calling me. As in India we go. If we say 6 o'clock, we start at 7 o'clock. Oh, if we say today, we'll do it after 5 days. Anyhow, so that type of... So he is then... And after good scolding and thrashing, then Swami Brahmananda and others conducted one big meeting in Calcutta, in the town hall and all these things, in Senate Hall. And the big thing happened. Rabindranath Tagore presided over that and this and that, representing... And, you know, Madras also did that. So... Then he said that it was so delayed, then he got mad and said, I don't care for your these things, appreciation. I care for appreciation. Am I asking for me? But for this work it was needed. And then afterwards one appreciation starts, you know. Anywhere you go, one place starts clapping. See, whole hall starts joining the clapping. So the whole India, this here meeting, there meeting, there meeting, and the newspaper cutting, this, that, coming here. And he says, don't send this garbage anymore. It was needed for some purpose. When I needed, you didn't give it, and now these papers are coming. What is the need? So this is, he actually single-handedly dealt this affair, huge affair of facing the challenges, preaching the Vedantic concept, rousing the consciousness of India and the whole world. That tremendous task was done under the request, under the kindness of Vivekananda. That's why we say Vivekananda and Ramakrishna are not two. Upverse and reverse of the same coin. You see, this way, steeped in samadhi, going to little one-line singing and just dancing and entering into the ecstasy, and day in day, maybe 20, 30 times going to samadhi. We hear only in one lifetime, one person got it, we call it great sage. He can just go at any point of time, at any situation. And here is that, keeping that tangible experience inside, spreading the message to the public. That's why it's called Boner Vedanta Ghareana, to bring the Vedanta of the forest to the world. Boner Vedanta, because previously it was the Indian spiritual tradition was kept in, restricted with the Brahmins and with the few people. That's why guru ideology has come so much, because this was proper students should go approach a spiritual teacher, then the treasure what he is containing, he will deliver that, and then it will continue to transmit to the other people, to the other people. And then Swami Vivekananda have this tremendous power to transmit the energy. He can raise the consciousness of thousands of people at a time. You can touch one person, you can touch the heart of one or two people. Thousands of people in a hall, he's trying to liberate them at one moment by spiritual force. And Sri Ramakrishna appeared before them. Don't do so for my child, it is too much. And then he has to come back again. And he went to this picture, this photograph is from that, somebody says. This picture of Swami Vivekananda in the meditation posture, it is like that. He is in a very high spiritual mood and seeing the suffering of thousands in the congregation, thought that, let me free them now. He raised the consciousness in a very high level. And that time he had a mystic vision and said, stop, not that much. Anyway, so this is Vivekananda, and it was a mission for him to stay. That's why he didn't cross even 39 years, 6 months or something, 7 months. And that was enough. And how many years he preached this message? You see, 93, if you say, from 93 onward, and 1902 he passed away. Yes. Only 7? No. 93? 9 years. But some...
Travel.
9 years. In between travel and in between also his health condition, sick and this and that. But what a tremendous impact. That's why Vivekananda said, if there were another Vivekananda, he could have understood what Vivekananda did. And in another occasion he said, what I have given, let the world experience that it will take 1500 years to assimilate these thoughts, this, and make the whole world a place of peace and happiness, if they take it. Now the point is that is the mother, actually she is called Mahamaya, and the tantric, that means those who want to see mother in all, that is the real meaning of tantra. So he was actually, this mother is playing, and it is mother who forced him to play the role of world teacher. But this does not please him. This name, this fame, this power, this position, which is so much important to we, the ordinary people, For Vivekananda, it is meaningless. He sees the hollowness of it, and it is a reality. And hollowness, why? What is the meaning of the name, fame, power, position, your high education? What you will carry with you? So he saw that it is as much, it is inspirational to have something, to have gain some power, strength, earn money, do things, everything. But ultimately, has it any meaning? It is all meaningless because these are everything in this world is changing and changing and changing. That's why Upanishad declares, he who sees that one unchanging in the move of these changes, he is a seer of truth. So this changing universe, it has its meaning, that you go, rise above your tamasic quality, go to the rajasic quality of doing something concrete and reach the point of climax. Then you question, am I happy? Did I get what I wanted? Still there will be a void. It's a philosophy of life. Through this, it is his own experience. Still, it is for all of us to think about life like that. That's why he said in this beautiful poem, perhaps you have read, but this is very good to read again and again and see that he gave this, he wrote this while he was in New York, in the New York in 1895. And he is saying that ever rising, ever falling with the waves of time, still rolling on I go, from flitting scene to scene ephemeral, with life's currents ebb and flow. Oh, I am sick of this unending force, these shows they please no more, this ever running, never reaching, not even a distant gleams of shore. See, people, it is just a picture of our life. Ever rising, ever falling, the waves of time. We are moving on. The time is coming. Tomorrow will come, that will also go. Someday high, someday low. Please, why not sit in that chair? Be comfortable.
Thanks.
Yeah. You should not punish yourself. Yeah. Whoever feels, please use the... So, it is the point that we are like that, we are moving like that. Time, ever rising sometime, ever falling, day coming, night going, night coming, day going, and one day we find that we are old. And then we think, what I did, what I achieved. So he says, from fleeting scene to scene ephemeral. We are so serious. This morning, what has happened? This noontime, what has happened? It is very serious. We cry, we weep, we emotionally get locked into it. But it is a fleeting scene. Seeing it, tomorrow it becomes a memory. However painful or however pleasurable experience of life comes, it is only ephemeral scene, only as if you are like a witness. Day comes, day turns into the noon, noon to the afternoon, to the evening, to the night, gone. You now say your past. You say, oh, yesterday was a good day, yesterday was a bad day. Oh, I was so lost yesterday with this trouble. But it is just a turning of the history book. You turn the page and one scene is coming, like reading a novel. Or just sitting before the television, watching something. You do not know what is coming next. But you are sitting, you are the standard person who is sitting. and you are seeing one sin coming, another going. You are emotionally attached to it, you are detached to it, you are angry, you are frustrated, you love, you hate. But everything is moving and moving. See how life is to be understood. Does not mean that we will not live in the life, but we can live joyfully. Why to so serious? This has happened, this will pass. Good has come, bad has come. How many good came in life? How many worst situations came in life? So, fleeting sin to sin ephemeral. And this is the life's current, is flowing on and on. And now, we are happy with this. That's why we love to cry a little more. Again, try to love little, singing, dancing, eating. But Vivekananda said, I am sick of this unending force. These souls, they please no more. This ever running, I am running for what? We are all running for peace. We are running for joy. We are running for wealth, prosperity. And you start and run. You think that almost you have caught the horizon. But you drive all through, you see, the horizon is the same distance away. When you are, you started your journey, you see that you are going to catch the horizon. That is the goal. That I will get it and I will be happy. With money, with youth, with wealth, with prosperity, with fame, with name. I will be this, I will be that. Okay, go. You attain to that point and you see, my God, what for? What did I gain? I labored myself so hard, but ultimately what I gain? There is a frustration in it. That because, Vedanta will say, because you are infinite. You cannot be satisfied with anything finite, with anything limited. That's why our struggle goes on and on to reach something higher. But even you attain the highest, still you are frustrated. That's why I give the example. Suppose people crave for money, okay, we need money. Crave for money, say you get 1 million. Are you happy? Now I will be happy. I have no money. Yeah, if I get 10,000, oh my God, I have 10,000. So you get 10,000, okay, 1 million. Then what? Then will be 2 million, will be better. Then 2 will be insufficient, 3. Go on, why you stop? It is like the horizon to catch. You become billionaire, then are you happy? Question comes. One of our monk, he was in our Hollywood. He came from India and the senior Swami. So some of them asked Swami, why did you become a monk? He responded this way, sincerely what he felt and what he did. He said that I was thinking, what will make me happy? I finished my school. I thought that I will be holding a big post because of my education. But I thought that, okay, let me think. Shall I be happy really? Then he said that I was sitting on a rock in Mumbai, watching the waves of the ocean. And I spent a long time in that mood and I analyzed. Acha, if I get the CEO position of this company, am I be happy? You analyze, you'll find, yes, momentarily you'll be happy because of the change of the position. But that position will give you extra burden and not out of fear. Even if you attain that, you will make an effort to be a CEO of a multi national institute or some organization. Then you go. He said that I analyzed myself in all the possible phases of my development in this plane, getting in the highest position. Suppose I am a politician, suppose I am a senator, suppose I am the president, are you happy? That question will always be there, and inner voice will say, something more is needed. I cannot be happy there. So this experience is not a frustration. That's why monks who give up, I say they are the greatest bhogis of the world. Because they don't want to be satisfied with
small,
little money, little this, little that. They want this big. And big. There is no bigger than anything. That's why Swami Premeshanandaji used to say, jokingly, some devotee asked the Swami, one very senior Swami of ours, Swami, oh, what a great renunciation. You had such a renunciation that you gave up all these things. And then he jokingly said, my renunciation? You think it is better? You have renounced that which I am craving for. I am craving for God. And to you, God is meaningless. That means you are craving for something higher. So the question is that this, because of analysis, if we analyze, we find that we cannot be satisfied. That's why Swamiji says that this running and running and running, and not a glimpse of that to catch. As much as they go, goal recedes and recedes and recedes. Then, is it happening this life? Swamiji says, from life to life, I am waiting at the gates. Alas, they open not. Dim are my eyes with vain attempt to catch one ray long sought. So I'm tired searching for this. And then I want to open the, I want the doors to be open, the door of illumination, the door of effulgence, the door of self-realization needs to be opened for me. But he says, oh, but with the vain attempt to catch one ray long sought, my eyes are becoming dim. That means tired. I am trying and trying from childhood to reach that, but it is tiring. I am losing my eyes. That means I am becoming old. Senses, I am becoming old. And now I am trying to reach this steeped spiritual tradition. And he says, on little life's high narrow ridge, I stand and see below the struggling, crying, laughing throng. For what? No one can know. You can, if you really be an observant, you can see these views. Suppose you come to Disneyland. You have finished your seeing the Disneyland. And then you stand aside one direction. Just observe how people are mad for running and seeing, going one thing to finishing that, running for the other thing. I also did that, you also did that. But we are not observant of our actions. But if you see how madly people are running for this, running for that. Now, you have seen the Disneyland. You are tired after whole days, seeing 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. You spend how much to see? You saw. And when you are coming out of the gate, with new enthusiasm, thousands of people are running. Going to this show, to that show, with so much enthusiasm. So it is said that, so I am trying now, I am tired. And I try to reach that highest truth. But the door is locked. And someone is saying, what is saying? In front yon gate stand frowning dark and say,
no further way. This is the limit. Tempt not fate. Bear it as best as you may. Go mix with them and drink this cup and be as mad as they. Who dares to know but comes to grief, stop them and with them stay. The world always tells. The highest truth, if you approach, it is a steep, high journey. That's why it's called the religious age. When you move in that direction, you should be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many obstacles. As much as you spiritually progress, you will find how much is the struggle. You think now the struggle is outside only. Yeah, you didn't allow me to meditate, you did this for me, you did that. This is only external. When you grow more inside, then you say, the enemies are here. 1,000 times. And says, hey, why do you want to think of God? Go mix with them, sing, dance, and eat. So that is the way the world is pulling us. But Vivekananda says, alas for me, I cannot rest. Why I cannot rest? The floating bubble earth, its hollow form, its hollow name, its hollow death and birth, for me is nothing. We pay so much value. It's a glittering thing, no? You play with the soap, and then we wait a bubble, soap bubble. Everyone likes that. Why? It looks so beautiful with the sunlight glittering on that. But it is only a show. Within a few seconds, burst. And then it is hollow. This thing in the world, which is so outwardly very attractive, its hollowness we find in everyday life. Your friendship is here, friendship goes away. Those who people who love become enemy tomorrow. So everyday situation we find that it is how horrible is the hollowness of the very life. We do not know. I am talking now. What will happen in 5 minutes? No one knows. We may be proud that I am such and such. Gone in a second. This is a hollow. Meaning, it is we have to understand that we are not yet to get frustrated. But we have to rationally understand life. We can live in the life, but at the same time with this knowledge. That's why Swamiji says, it cannot attract me. You are saying, higher voice says, hey, go and go, mix with them, eat, drink, and dance like them. But he said, I cannot do that for me, because I know it is hollow. If I go singing, dancing, as I say all the time, that you are coming to this type of discussion, your friends will say, hey, you don't come anymore to the party. And then you say, no, I go to the... Oh, you are becoming very spiritual. And then you will be criticized. Your friend, you gave 20 years of your lifetime to go to the party, to please them, because they are your friend. But when you are going to a higher something, these friends don't treat you the same way. They think you are a stranger to them. You are becoming too spiritual, you are becoming too bhakti. Too much of bhakti. So this is the hollowness. Means we need not have to feel that this world is so wretched that we will not have any love, feeling or anything. But let us love with this knowledge. It is hollow without God. If you add God, then it is full. But minus God, this friendship is hollow. This relationship is hollow because it can break at any point of time unless there is a ground of divine inside playing. Spiritual relationship, that's why we call. That relationship should be established on the basis of the spirit. That's why otherwise people get frustrated every time they have a new friend. new boyfriend, new girlfriend. Why not one friend? You love very deeply and see, respect God in him or her and enjoy your life. But hollow. That's why today I like you, tomorrow I don't like you. That's why it is said that you will find the love of the holy people do not change. Because they don't look on outside. They look the inside of us, they love us because with the compassionate look, they look upon us that, oh, he is a genuine spiritual person in the trouble, how I can help? So there comes a loving concern, and that does not depend on your beauty. I love you today, you are sick tomorrow, so you don't look good, let me have another friend who looks good. So this is a foolish thinking of moving into the life. Swamiji is saying it is hollow if it is not God there. And he says, I cannot rest. This floating bubble earth, its hollow form, its hollow name, its hollow death and birth. What is the meaning of birth? What is the meaning of death? Millions and billions are dying every day and born. Born and dead. How many children are born today? How many people are dead today? It is going on. Only I have camouflaged myself. I say, I will not die. Okay. But everything will go on. Birth and death will come. So here is the, for me, it is nothing. How long, how I long to get beyond the crust of name and form. Ah, open the gates to me, the open must. It is name and form that is hollow, and it is I am longing to get beyond the crust of name and form. We are all looking from outside. It is only the crust of name and form. Vedanta says, Satchidananda plus name and form. That is the universe. Universe is nothing. It is the universe, infinite ocean plus name and form. Bubble is one name. Your form is another name. The wave is another name. Below is another name. But it is nothing but water. So, it is, if you only look at the form, form is hollow because it is never static. This wave rises, by the time it rises, it goes down. So you cannot expect that. People say, hey, you have changed so much. You were not like that before. Hare, this question is like a fool's question. The change is life. Every moment, everyone is changing. But still we expect, no, it will be like that. Only that is God. So he says that, you sent me, now open the gates of light, O Mother, to me, thy tired son, I long, O long to return home, Mother, my play is done. His play is done, his mission is done. Ours also life is there. Our play should have to be ending one day. We have to understand we cannot play all through the life like a child. We should carry this understanding. What is life? What is his achievement? What is his failure means? What is his accomplishment or whatever is loss? What is ultimately life? So that is to be understood very deeply and then live in the life. Then life is meaningful because it is saturated with God. There is nothing but God. There is nothing but H2O, whether it is a bubble or it is a ripple or it is wave or whatever, big wave or small wave or whatever. So it is only name and form. But inner content, if we don't know that, then it is all changing and changing and changing. It brings frustration, it brings suffering and pain. You send me out in this dark to play and oh, a frightful mask. Then hope departed, terror came, and play became a task. Actually, we do that. We came to play in this world, and then we start crying and weeping. Well, our intention was to play. Our intention was to get joy. Huh? So we become ki jabe. Okay. শেষ করব
না না আপনি আপনি করুন
পরে না না
ওই দাদা অসাধারণ বলেছে
নো সো ইউ সেন্ড মি আউট মিন্স ইন দিস প্লে হ্যাঁ গড হ্যাজ সেন্ট আস নো এন্ড গড হ্যাজ বিকাম এভরিথিং হিয়ার ইজ ওয়ান গড 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 অনলি ওয়ান মাস্ক নন্দিনী অ্যানাদার তীর্থঙ্কর অ্যানাদার দিস অ্যানাদার দ্যাট অনলি মাস্কস আর ডিফারেন্ট দ্যাটস হোয়াই হি সেজ ইউ সেন্ড মি আউট You, mother, sent me out to play in the dark and wore a frightful mask. Sometimes sweet mask is good. Fearful mask, frightful mask. Children, mom plays with the child sometimes, no? To just for fun. And then when you came with a frightful mask, then hope departed. I couldn't recognize you. That even my mom, you have come in the form of terror, in the form of fear, in the form of anger, in the form of frustration. You have come in my life. I didn't know that. So then terror came and play then became a task. I was playing joyfully. But it is no more a play. It is a botheration. It is a cry. It is weeping. Then what to do? Tossed to and fro, from wave to wave in this seething, surging sea of passion strong and sorrows deep. Grief is and joy to be. We live in grief, hoping joy will come tomorrow. And this being tossed, what? The passion, the desire is a prompting force. Buddhism deals with that only one word, Krishna, desire, vasana, tanha. Only that is the prompting force, leading every animal to human, to the gods and goddesses. That is the propelling force, desire. What desire? I want this more. I want that more. I want more and more and more. This is the force which leads the life going on. But what is life? He says, where life is living death. Alas, and death, who knows? But it is another start, another round of the old wheel of grief and bliss. What is life? This life is finished. Okay, I'll be born next life as like that. Again a wheel of circle of birth and death, and then again going through the same episodes of going to primary school. Kindergarten school and then baby care and then this job and passing examination and then struggling for so many things. Some of you are struggling for green card, some are struggling for H-1 visa, so or someone who has lost job seeking for something. This goes on and on and on. So this life is a living death. It is not a green picture, but it is to analyze the reality of life. If we understand, then we can live in this world very joyfully. Whatever comes, take the challenge, move on, because it is changing, it is momentary, it is temporary. God is the only reality. Hold on, move on. So, you are the most powerful person in the world, and you are the most weak person in the world. Why it is happening? Why that is going on? Why it was like that yesterday? Why it is today like this? It is endless frustration. So be bold. Know this philosophy and live the life. Enjoy life. That is called enjoyment. Fools cannot enjoy. The weak people cannot enjoy. It is the powerful people who can enjoy. So this is the path of enjoyment, not frustration. Though the picture is very green, because picture is green, why do you know? I look very nice, But when doctor put me into the, the dissection table, it is not that good. When they dissect things, whatever comes out, it is not good. So, apparently one, but you dissect it. This is the Vedantic dissection. Dissecting. Analyze the object. Analyze the events of life. Analyze the facts of life. Analyze what means your progress. What means your achievements. What means your gain in life. And what is the loss. There is nothing lost, nothing gained. Only gain is that this is an opportunity to know through this situation that these are all fleeting and mother is the only reality. You call mother, you call father, you call Atman, you call God, you can call Mahakali, you can call Durga, whatever you like. You go on telling, but the point is that it is this search for the truth. Another start, another round of its old wheel of grief and bliss. Life means that. Little joy, little suffering, little joy, little suffering. Where children dream bright golden dreams, too soon to find them dust, and look back to hope long lost, and life a mass of rust. When you tell a young man, hey, analyze the life, go, think like this and move. Say, hey, you crazy people, you are very selfish. You have enjoyed all your life. Now you are giving advice to us. But no, it is there in their eyes everything is shining, gold. But when their maturity comes, they understand. It appears to be gold, but it is not gold. It glitters like that of the gem, but it is a piece of piece of glass. So it is an apparent thing in which we are deluded, giving up the real object. So he says, too late. The knowledge is that gain. Scarce from the wheel we are gone, when fresh young lives put their strength to the wheel, which thus go on from day to day and year to year. It is but delusion's toy. False hope is the motor. Desire is the nave. Its spokes are grief and joy. This is compared to a wheel. It says that it is but delusion's toy. This life is actually we don't think. That's why one day we become suddenly old. I never thought. So, one day, suddenly, it appears like that. I never thought that I am a little old or anything, no? I was always thinking I came to Belur Mahal that day as a brahmachari, and all are seniors and this and that. And suddenly one day I find that, oh, I have become old. I am now 68. When did it happen? So this is the point, that it's suddenly we are awakened into our present state of being. But it has not happened in one day. It happened every moment by moment by moment. So to understand this, to hold on to this principle and move forward, and that is the way. So how we move on? False hope is mortar. False hope is motor. The desire is the name, the spokes. And the spokes are grief and joy, which is connecting these two. Either you get little joy or little grief. Little happiness or little misery. Nothing new. The old thing, only permutation and combination of the same thing. I go adrift and know not whither. Save me from this fire. Rescue me, merciful mother, from floating with desire. Turn not to me thy awful face. It is more than I can bear. Yes. When you play with your child, sometimes you wear a mask suddenly to play, and then the child may cry out, "I cannot bear this! My God, take away the mask. Be merciful and kind to me, to chide my faults forbear. Take me, O Mother, to those shores where stripes forever cease, beyond all sorrows, beyond tears, beyond even the earthly bliss, whose glory neither sun nor moon nor stars that twinkle bright, nor flash of lightning can express, they but reflect its light." So I don't want to go to void. Spirituality is not going to void or emptiness. Spirituality is to go to this consciousness. That where the glory, that glory, to reach that glory of our divine nature, what he says, whose glory neither sun nor moon nor stars that twinkle bright nor flash of lightning can express. It is the Jyoti Rajyoti. It is the effulgent light, light of the light. This outside beauties of light or the gorgeousness of this art is nothing. It is but a glimpse of that absolute truth. I want to reach that. And let never more delusive dream veil off thy face from me. My play is done, O Mother. Break my chains and make me free. So this is a good prayer. You can say it is a devotion. You can add devotion to it. The mother's play going on. And we must have to get out of this play. Little play is good, but you should not play whole life. That's why some of the players, they remain in the school forever, just to play. They never come out of the school. That's why it is said, better to be born in a church, but not to be
dead
in the church. You should not die in a church. Beginning is good. I have to follow this, I have to follow that and do that. But get out of the church. You are beyond the church. Church is only helping us to mold our character. And then you become so great with a perfect character of joy and blessedness, then this is all gone. You attain to that peace and you can give that peace to others. So this is a good prayer we can pray every day. If you call mother, mother is a sweet term. That's why in Hindu faith mother worship is so predominant. Because I do not know what is in America, dad is little strong, mom is little compassionate. So in India, whatever we cannot ask our dad, we go to our mom. Of course, in each case it may be a little different. Some may be very free with the dad and not with the mom. But mostly, the people, the children want to get something, but dad will not give. They will go and hang on to mom. And make mom agree to the proposal and get the thing done. So that's the easier way. Mother's relationship is also is a very good relationship because mother is always protective. Of course, father, that's why two aspects of God is there, father and mother. But in India, mother worship is also plays a great role. Even it started in the Vedic times, Rig Veda times and others. Okay, so anything more to talk about or?
If there is any question.
Yeah, you can 5 minutes question.
Remember reading one time that Swamiji said, I don't know if he was joking or not, if he was being serious, but he said one time, I don't believe in all that Krishna nonsense. What do you think was his meaning?
Krishna and nonsense?
Yeah.
Oh, he said that sometimes, in which context he is talking, we have to see that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
People take Krishna as only dancing with the gopis. That's why he sometimes said, we need courage, we need strength to fight the odds of life. So better you take these values, that Krishna, who guided the whole war of Kurukshetra with the Bhagavad Gita. We need that powerful Krishna. And devotional aspect is also there, but many people, without becoming a perfect instrument for that type of higher love for God, sometimes maybe singing and dancing in the name of God, but at the same time cannot keep their high spirit. That's why you find that those who sing and dance in the name of God, they quickly get higher emotions. Momentarily they go into high plane, undoubtedly. But when they come down, they have no ground where to stand. As a result, they become very much worldly minded again. Our spirituality should be to keep a steady state of mind. So, for that reason, Swamiji said, bring some courage, bring some power, strength, and go over the weaknesses of emotionalism. Emotionalism and devotion sometimes get mixed. So that's why he is probably talking us that you be not emotional, but that rational person with a pen of reason and understanding.